Paul had been dealing with the Corinthians, and we know the Corinthian church was a carnal church full of envy, strife, and division. And they were more worried about what man they had been led to Christ by, or what man they had been baptized by, or what have you, than focusing on Jesus Christ. And Paul, talking to them in chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians, he deals with some things I want to look at today, about 7 or 8 things. 8 if I don't forget one, 7 if I do, amen. But probably about 8 things as we read down through this passage and begin in verse number 1. Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Going back down through these verses, I want to look at some things. And the first thing in verse number 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." We see the declaration, the testimony of God. Declaring the testimony of God. What is the declaration of the testimony of God that we are concerned with as a church? The testimony of God can be seen beginning in John chapter number 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But we also understand that the death and burial of Jesus Christ is part of the testimony of God. But that testimony was proven true by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's showing the power of God, showing the love of God by His death on Calvary, showing the mercy of God, giving us a chance to accept that death, burial, and resurrection, but showing the power of God by that resurrection. The declaration of the testimony of God, we understand that Jesus Christ, we just talk about it. We talk about it a lot A lot of churches talk about it. Probably the only time they talk about it during the year is Easter. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We like to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We like to talk about the death, the burial, the blood atonement, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just on one day a year, but every service will probably mention the death, burial, and the resurrection. What's that testify to? That testifies of God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's power. The declaration. You see, the church of Corinth, they were getting all caught up in worldly things. They were getting caught up in things that man shouldn't be caught up in, such as the tradition of man and the philosophy of the world and the rudiments of the world, all these things. And he says, well, the testimony of God's love, His power, His mercy, and His grace is the death, burial, and resurrection of His only begotten Son. Verse number 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We've seen the declaration, now we see the determination. You know what the determination is? To focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are, we talked about this in Sunday school, we talked about the last days of the church age and where we are at the door of the rapture, I believe, and the mess this world's in, and how they focus on all kinds of things, and it's becoming pretty commonplace for any man of any religion in any setting to mention God. And to talk about a generic God, there's no problem with that. The whole world will accept that. And then to talk about all of us getting together in the name of a generic God and kumbaya, getting along in the name of a generic God. But what they're not doing is pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ is the way to God, the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul said his determination was to not get caught up in this other stuff, but to get caught up in the fact that Jesus Christ had been crucified and paid our sin debt. It's not a big thing for a president or a political leader or a political person or any leader of any type to get up there and mention God. I mean, every once in a while, an atheist will throw a little fit because they're their own God. But it's not a big deal to mention a generic God. But to stand at a platform where thousands, no, millions of people could hear and see and judge your words. The judge not crowd are the first ones that will judge your word. But to mention Jesus Christ's sacrifice on Calvary and the fact that He died, was buried, shed His blood, and rose again. Paul said he was determined not to get caught up in all the other things. He was determined to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be good to have men in high positions all over the place just talking about Jesus Christ all the time? It'd be good because it honors our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It glorifies God the Father. It magnifies the Word of God, the truths of the death, burial, and resurrection. But in a sense, it would probably slow down the rapture. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And I'm not saying us being out of here is more important than Jesus Christ getting the glory. I'm just saying we can see where we're at in the frame of things and looking through the glass, hourglass of time here. The declaration, the determination. And Paul said in verse number 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. The desperation. You know, Paul had been in some desperate situations. He'd been beaten with stripes. He'd been threatened to be beheaded. He'd been imprisoned. Talk about Paul's complete ministry, being stoned to death at Lystra, getting back up on his feet and going right back in there and preaching again. Amen. You know what happens? You know what I believe happens? I believe saved people will pray up and they'll just make a decision to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and they'll do it publicly. And the spiritual attack and the attack of the flesh and the influence of the world will hit them so hard that they get in this point of desperation where they have weakness and fear and much trembling to do it again. I believe we have saved people in Congress. Amen. I'm not saying there's a lot of them, but I do believe we have I know there are people that claim to trust in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But I believe we underestimate the ability of the devil and the flesh to shut down their witness. I do believe that. You know what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6? He was talking about the body armor, the whole armor of God. And I believe it's verse 18 where he's talking about praying, having people pray for him that he may open his mouth boldly. Here we have Paul. We look at Paul. Good night. We put him on a pedestal right below Jesus where he's a preacher. You know, he's the epitome of a Christian where he's battling a battle, but he's staying in and he's asking for prayer that he could open his mouth boldly. I believe it's hard to open your mouth boldly. How do I know that? Because I've witnessed a few times over the years. And more often than not, it's hard to open your mouth boldly. Amen. The desperation that some people find themselves in when they have the opposition. I think if every Christian would speak up and brag on Jesus Christ, it'd be a lot easier for the other Christians to do it. But the problem is, gradually, the devil got everybody to shut their mouth, till now only a few left trying to open their mouth. And I'm not saying there aren't thousands, but in the grand scheme of things, the percentage is low. And they find a place to hide. A good place to hide is in church. Go to church, go through the routine, but never tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Go to church, go through the routine, but never have an uncomfortable moment when you're talking to somebody about your faith. Go to church, go to a routine, or get in a program and get in a thing. A lot of ministries are a good place to hide. Amen. You can get in a ministry where you're praying for folks, and praise the Lord, everybody should be praying for missionaries, praying for each other, and prayer is a good thing. But sometimes prayer becomes a place to hide. Say, well, I'm praying, but I haven't touched a Bible track in 6 years. But you wouldn't believe how I'm praying. You know why? Because the opposition is fierce. The opposition is fierce. And it's not just the devil, it's not just the world, it's this flesh. This flesh desires to be comfortable. Amen. It desires to be comfortable. I've had the opportunity to witness to some folks the other day and get some serious opposition a couple different times. But the Lord blesses it and He makes up for that in other ways, thank God, to encourage you. But the desperation you get into is like, look, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Jeremiah said he'll no longer speak in the Lord's name. Remember that? And he said, but there's like a fire burning in his bones. That's where you get into a situation where you're in a battle with yourself. Because what's inside you is trying to get out. And what's outside of you is trying to get in to taint what's inside. And you just want to be comfortable. You just want to relax. And the truth is, the only joy we have is when we're bragging on Jesus Christ, whether it's with another believer or an unbeliever. That's what makes church so special. You can get in here, come out of the world, and we can brag on Jesus Christ with little to no opposition. From other people, anyway. The devil in the flesh still comes in and he'll still kick you around the block. But it's good to be around like-minded people. The desperation, look at 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We see the desperation, now we see the demonstration. You know what he's demonstrating? It's not about me. It's not about my words. It's about God. It's about the Word of God and the power of God. I'll tell you, I think the devil, one of the biggest tricks he's played on the churches today is getting preachers to quit putting their confidence in the book. I really believe that. And if I said, well, we can't really know what God said because we don't have the originals. Well, nobody's ever had the originals the same place and the same time ever together. And if we didn't have them, so we just have to go by the ideas and the concepts, then I can make up the ideas and the concepts. Amen. I can make up the tradition. We can start a new tradition, which is what a lot of folks have done. You know the reason that a lot of these churches end up with rainbow flags and all this stuff out front? You say, well, it's just because they're just completely wicked. Well, they took baby steps away from the truth. They gradually walked away from the truth. Until they believe their church's tradition of Jesus is God and God is love and His sacrifice for everybody, and that's all true. But Jesus Christ is also judgment. And He will judge sin. So you're doing people a terrible disservice by not witnessing to them because of their whatever. But you're doing them an even more of a disservice by not warning them. And by not telling them their sin is going to get them in trouble. Their sin is going to be judged. There are a lot of people out there who think they're born-again believers that have never trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior because they believe God is love and God's just going to save everybody. He's willing. He's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know what's missing in the churches today? That demonstration. Let's read it again. Verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The demonstration of the power of the words of God. You know the only way you won't quit as a Christian, I mean just totally quit, is by putting your faith in God instead of man. I can verify and testify to that. If it wasn't for this book, I'd have quit 100,000 times. That may be a slight exaggeration, 100,000, but thousands of times. Amen. I've got a book. I believe the book. I believe the author of the book. I'm counting on the author of the book. I know the author of the book is going to call us out of here. I know we've got a verse coming up here in a little bit about "I have not seen, ear not heard, or entered in the heart of man." I believe those things. I've got a Bible that preaches to me, that teaches me, that verifies some things for me, that corrects me, that lifts me up, that it gives me some peace and joy in the times of a total destructive storm. I have a book, and I believe the book. Amen. If I just trusted in you or you just trusted in me, we'd quit. And the devil's using a lot of people out there to set people up for failure by trying to get them to trust in them and trust in themselves. I'm not trying to get you to trust in me, and I'm not trying to get you to trust in you. I'm trying to do the exact opposite. You trust the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. The demonstration of power. When you're in a church service or you're on the street or you're witnessing somebody, the Word of God's being taught or preached or trying to rightly divide it or whatever, and something happens that you just can't explain what it is the power of God shows up and does something in your heart, not just in your mind, but does something in your heart to bring you closer to Jesus Christ. The demonstration. Look at 6 and 7. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." We've seen the declaration, the determination, the desperation, the demonstration. We see the ordination. You know what ordination is? That's God's putting His hand and His power and His stamp of approval on a message. And you know what the message was? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know what? Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And here we are looking at that which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now I'll take Calvinism that far. Amen. God decided before man even fell, because God has He knows what He wants to know. And He's outside of time. And God decided before Adam fell that the second Adam was going to come and clean up that mess. And He paid the debt to restore this earth and to save men's souls when He died, was buried, and rose again on Calvary. He rose again from that grave. It was finished. It was finished. The debt was paid on Calvary. But the resurrecting power is what saves you and I. That's what we get to be a partaker of when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That ordination. Look at 9 through 13. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We've seen that ordination, and now we see the expectation. We're expecting an eternity with Jesus Christ. We're expecting a place to spend eternity where we don't fight this flesh, we don't have the bothering of the world, the devil, all that things. In the presence of the Lord, there's joy. That joy in the presence of Jesus Christ, we're expecting that. We're expecting to end this church age here soon by Lord calling us out of here. We're expecting some things. You know what we're expecting? We're expecting to see a place that's got a street of gold so pure you can see through it. Amen. It'd be nice to have a little fatter bank account. Amen. But we're going to a place where there's going to be a street so pure of gold you can see through it. We belong to the Father. And in our Father's house there are many mansions. Amen. He's promised us a mansion. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He measures out the stars of the sky by the stretching out of His hand. We've got some things to look forward to. The expectation is to leave this flesh in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be changed, to be like Jesus Christ, to forever be with Him, to see Him come back at the Battle of Armageddon, defeat all the enemy, to set up a kingdom, rule it with a rod of iron, at the end of that, the Battle of Gog and Magog, for fire to come down, to fire the enemy after that, the total destruction of the enemy. We're expecting to see this earth and the heavens burn away, a new heaven and a new earth where sin will never dwell again. We're expecting that. Here, just a short time ago, 3 weeks and 3 days ago, I think, Melissa was expecting to deliver that baby. She was expecting that turmoil to be passed. And we're expecting a similar thing. We're expecting these labor pains, if you will, these things that are going on in the world. And I know the labor pains, I know they directly are dealing with Israel in the tribulation most of the time when you're looking at them. But here we are in the last of the church age, and that's the way dispensations usually age. They end that way, and the church is going through a tough time, a tough situation. Those of remnant that are trying to do right and trying to stick with God and trying to stick with the Bible are going to go through some things and suffer some things, whether, you know, it may not be a physical battle, but there's going to be a spiritual battle that's ramped up against you harder and harder and harder. There's going to be more of an opposition every day until the Lord calls us out of here and He delivers us from this place. Amen. But we're expecting it soon. You know what we also expect? We've got to be careful with our expectations. I don't know about you, sometimes I expect everybody to reject the truth. You ever do that? You ever put 5 or 6 tracks in your pocket or 1 or 2 or whatever, and you go, this is going to be worthless, but I'm going to try it. Right? You know what we fail to expect? For God to show up and do something. And He does. He does often. Often. Verse 14, we see, but the natural man receiveth not the spirit things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We see the limitation. Men are limited. They're limited in their spiritual understanding because they can't receive the things, the spiritual things. You and I talk about, when you and I talk about the things of God, and we laugh and we joke and we're looking forward to God and we're joying in these things and singing songs about them, the world can't understand that. They might understand the words with their mind, but they can't get it in their heart because they're spiritually discerned. And that's what happens when you're dealing with lost folks. That things are spiritually discerned. I told you about the folks, that the guy that showed up at the garage sale. I thought he was going to punch me in the mouth over witnessing to him. Got furious, almost got back out of his car. He got in his car because he didn't want to hear it. And I said, look, I'm just worried about you dying and going to hell. He started to open his door, and then he didn't. And then he said, don't worry about me. You know, it just went on and on and on, just frustrated and angry and upset. And I asked, you remember, I asked him, what happened to you? And he said, what happened to you? I trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I could have been sitting in his car looking at it one time. But the Lord saved my soul. So he finally drives off, starts to stop, and drives off. He was battling the flesh. What he wanted to do is get out and kill the messenger. But even if he'd done that, the message had already been sent. The difference is he got to go home and think about it instead of prison and think about it. Amen? Or the jail cell and think about it. Was it discouraging? Not really. It was pretty good for both of us, I think, because my flesh was hoping he'd take it and smile and say, well, thank you, I'll read this when I get home, and I was off the hook. But Jesus Christ didn't get off the hook that easy. The Word of God, face to face with lost sinners, was ridiculed, rejected, and sent to Calvary. And we expect everybody to just love on us for giving them the truth. Their limited understanding of the truth. I was talking to, we put some of that stuff out of the garage and I'll put it on Marketplace. Just an old junk toolbox full of tools. Wasn't worth $5, probably wasn't worth $10 maybe. All, if you wanted something, yeah, maybe, but there's another box we put with it and put it on there for $10. And guy comes up here and picks it up. And we start talking. And he's the fella, Carl, that I told you lost his wife last year. They had their 60th anniversary, and she passed away the next day. And he's standing outside our church crying. We're praying to get the prayer together. That sounds terrible, but you know what it is? It's a blessing that God lined up after the other guy. If we just stay in the fight, God's going to line up some stuff to encourage us. You know, the guy, I sent him a text, said, I'm praying for you. You know, he said, well, us praying together out here really helped. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, sent him a text, I'm praying for you. He said, my son said that God lined you up with me to help me, for us to help each other. He said, I'm praying for you too. Isn't that something? And he says, we should go out to lunch sometime. We should. This is somebody I probably, outside of Christ, somebody would probably never be friends. We'd never talk. We'd never get along. Maybe think totally differently outside of Christ. But the Lord lined that up. He just gives us a reason to keep going. There are people out there, and there's a purpose for us. As much as we long to be with the Lord, there's still a purpose for us, or God would have called us home. Amen? But people are limited to understanding these things. Then, witness to a guy over at Meijer, a black guy, and it just boggles my mind. Black people are getting just as goofy as white people anymore when it comes to religious stuff. Didn't used to be that way. Used to be black people all went to church, and they had family, parents. It used to be a lot different. Well, I start to hand him this track. He goes, I ain't talking about religion. I said, I'm not either. I'm talking about whether you're going to heaven or going to hell. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, whether you're saved or not. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. I said, why not? He said, I just don't talk about religion. We talked a little bit. I said, well, look, I'm not trying to be smart. Just tell me what you believe. Well, I believe in science, and I believe in this, I believe in that. He don't know what he believes. He's just throwing stuff out there. I said, that Bible's right. He said, the Bible can't be right. He said, there's no way God created this place in 7 days. I said, he didn't. He did it in six. He rested on the seventh day. And I said, why don't you do something and humor me and just take this and read it? He said, I'm not taking that and I'm not reading it. I said, all right, man. Walk off. That's the way it goes sometimes. Then we had an old door out in the garage. Put it on Facebook Marketplace for $10. The frame's busted. The door's good. Handle don't match. There's no key to the handle. Everybody and their grandma wanted that door. I couldn't believe it. Like, good night. We should have put that on there for $300. But anyway, we put it on there for $10. And this girl messages from Dayton. And I'm thinking, you're not going to show up over here for a $10 door. And then somebody messages from Connersville. And I'm thinking, they're probably not going to show up here for a $10 door. And then that person quits talking from Dayton, and the one from Connerville says, I want to come get it now. And I said, hang on a minute. And then the person from Dayton gets back with me, and I said, look, I'm sorry, but the first person got back with me again, and they said they're coming. She said, I'm going to send my husband to get it. I said, send him. So we meet over here, and she drives, and her husband's with her. And he gets out, And me and him, he looked at the door. I didn't have change. He had to go get change and comes back and he buys the door and I help him load it. He's loading it up on top of the SUV, strapping that thing on there. He said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yeah, I've been accused of it a couple times. Why?" He said, "Would you pray for me?" He said, "I struggle with alcohol." I said, "I don't want to pray for you. I'll pray with you right now." I started to put my hand on his shoulder and her shoulder, and he grabbed my hand. Locked on to the pray out in the parking lot. He said, "Thank you so much." I said, "You have a Bible?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You have a Bible?" She said, "Yeah." Because we're trying to read it more, and he's trying. He was quoting Scripture. He was trying to memorize Scripture, trying to get out of the mess. He's on the right track. He had somebody telling him what to do. That's the way to do it. Just get out of that stuff. Start quoting some Scripture yourself. Memorize that stuff. So I said, "Look, man, if you need anything, you've got my messenger. I'll just shoot me a message. I'll send you a phone number, whatever." He leaves, and I found a couple verses in Proverbs about not drinking. And ended up in poverty because of it. And Philippians 4:13, "I do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Sent that to him, so I'm praying for you. And she said, "Thank you so much. It was such a blessing to meet you in person." I'm thinking, good enough. I've been trying to figure out for years why the Lord doesn't just smoke me and take me out of this dumpster. But he'll use anybody. He'll use anybody that'll let him. But see, those two opposing were replaced with two blessings. Just to try to get you to keep on keeping on. It'd be easy to run in three or four knuckleheads in a row and just quit. God knows. He knows. I don't believe God won't lay on you more than you can handle, more than you can bear. That's not even in the Bible. That's a lie. He'll put on you more than you can bear, and then trust that he's the only way you can bear it, by giving it to him. But I do believe this. He knows how to keep you going if you let him. Amen. Will those people ever show up at church? I don't know if they ever show up at this church or not, but they showed up once. And all of them took a Bible track. They all said they were saved. Took one anyway. I don't know whether they're saved or not. They just said they were. But praise the Lord. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. Limitations. They're limited to what they can understand spiritually because they don't have the Spirit of God. I believe it's really easy for a man to realize there's a God because the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. I believe it's really easy for a man to figure out that he's a sinner because your conscience convicts you. That's built in. I believe it's real easy to believe that if you died and you went somewhere, you wouldn't deserve to go someplace good if you're a lost sinner. Amen. I believe it's real easy to figure that out. And I believe it's real easy for God to deal with a man's heart when he gets in that situation and realizing that he's a sinner, he deserved to go someplace very bad, and Jesus Christ paid his sin debt. It's real easy for a man to figure that the only thing he can do is call out to Christ. I believe that. But there are some limitations on lost people. That's why it's not a wise thing to tell people how to rightly divide when they're lost and on their way to hell. That's not going to help them. You need to tell them how to get saved. Verse 15 and 16. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We've seen the declaration, the determination, that desperation that we all go through at times, the demonstration of the power of God. Thank God we see that occasionally. The ordination, the expectation, the limitation. Now we see the exhortation. You know what it is? He's trying to encourage them to keep on keeping on for the Lord. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That does a couple things for me. It helps me to realize when I'm talking to family members that just don't get it, that sometimes they just can't get it. They don't have the mind of Christ if they're lost. Look, let me take it a step further. If they're saved and they don't go to church and they don't read their Bible, they're still going to be in the same mess. Because they're spiritually discerned. You know what this book says? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. Without the words of God, people are not going to understand the things of God. So, well, the devil can't get rid of the Bible. He can't, because I have the Word of God right here. He can make all kinds of perverted, quote-unquote, versions of it, and he can get people to doubt it, but he can't get rid of it. But you know what he's done? He's allowed people to take their faith and put it other places. He's caused them to doubt. Yea, hath God said. He's caused them to doubt, just like he did in Genesis 3. But the exhortation is for us. We have the mind of Christ. So it encouraged me, hey, look, they're not going to understand everything. Maybe they need to be brought back to Calvary. And it also encourages me to read the Bible. Because we have the mind of Christ. Where do you get the mind of Christ? By reading His Word. Amen. Because it'll convict you. It will direct you. It will exhort you. One day it's going to judge you. For us, praise God, it'll be the judgment seat of Christ. But for the lost and those out of this dispensation, it'll be the great white throne judgment. A guy in the alley, you know, I said, I'm worried about you dying. I don't want you to die and go to hell forever. Don't worry about me. I said, I'm worried about you. I care about your soul. You know, honestly, when he pulled up, I didn't care about his soul. When I was talking to him in the garage, I didn't care about his soul. I was just doing what I thought God was having me to do. By the time we got through talking, I cared about his soul. Because here's a madman on his way to hell. And the only thing standing between him and eternal fire is getting over that wicked heart and handing it to Jesus Christ. It'd be great if everybody just fell to their knees and called out to Christ. Wouldn't it be great? I think we'd get out of here quicker too. But boy, the battle that we're in, often leads to feelings of desperation, amen? Fear and trembling. Ephesians chapter number 6, and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter number 6, we'll start in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a heart to pray for each other, not just for physical ailments, but we'd all be able to open our mouth boldly to tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That you'd give us a heart for lost souls that only you can give. We can have a mind for it, but you have to give us a heart for it. And Lord, these folks that we've lifted up to you in prayer for salvation over the years, that you would deal with their heart and break down the walls and the stoniness in their heart, break up that fallow ground, that they'd see the need to call on Christ before it's too late. That fellow out there in the alley, Lord, that would rather fight than put faith in you, Lord, that you'd open his eyes and heart to truth before it's too late. And Lord, the other fellow and other folks we've talked to and witnessed to that claim they don't want to talk about religion, help them to understand that it's not about religion, it's about a relationship and who they belong to. They've been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. They need to accept it. Help them to see that before it's too late. And Lord, bless us through this day. And Lord, I want to lift up all the church folks to you, that you'd help heal and strengthen when they need it. Lord, we're in a battle here, and you know it better than we do. The only way we can make it is by putting our confidence in you every step of the way. Lord, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Help us, Lord. And bless the church folks. Bless Bill and Linda. They just come past their 56th anniversary. Praise the Lord. Help them and strengthen them. And come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.